Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, everybody? We're going to talk about various different sport, topics. You know, of course, we're going to be talking about the unfortunate Charles, Oakley saga, with the Knicks that went down Wednesday night at the Garden. We'll also talk about, give a recap of, the Royal Rumble that went down last week. It was 2 weeks ago. And, of course, the Super Bowl that went down with, of course, the Patriots losing, or rather winning. I wish they lost. And, of course, as you guys remember, I predicted that. But we're going to get into that also. We're also going to, preview the Elimination Chamber preview event that's going to happen this Sunday night. And I think Max on the other line. Hold on 1 second. Hello, Mac. You're on there, right?
Hey, well, what's up?
What's up, man? Glad to have you on the air, as always, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. I had some trouble calling into the show for some reason today. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know how your line got, knocked off, but, glad you're back on.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's dive into this Oakley story, and then we'll recap the Super Bowl, and then, give a little recap of the Royal Rumble, and then we'll dive right into, the Elimination Chamber match coming up tomorrow night. And also, Henrik Lundqvist made some history, too, so we'll talk about that also.
Okay.
But first, let's talk about the big news that happened in the world of sports recently. And, of course, unfortunately, I'm talking about what happened with Charles Oakley. And as you all know, Charles Oakley was basically the heart and soul of the Knicks team. I mean, my favorite player on the team was, John Starks, because, he was like a young, underdog guy, compared to the guy, even though the guy was like 6'3" or so. But to him, he looked like a, a little guy compared to all those 7-foot guys, in the league. And, he overachieved. But a guy that every Knicks fan, obviously, Ewing was the man on the 90s teams and, late 80s team as well, after he got drafted. But one guy that was a constant on the Knicks team, when you think about those 90s Knicks teams, you think of Oakley. And from 88 to 98, this guy, he put a decade of destruction on the opposition. I mean, this guy epitome what it is to be a Knick, a hard-nosed guy, a guy who doesn't take, crap from anybody, a guy who dives for loose balls. Basically, he's the antithesis of the Knicks team nowadays, with the exception of a few guys. I mean, We'll get into that. We'll get into the current Knicks, momentarily. But something really horrible happened. Wednesday night, Charles Oakley was going to watch the game, and according to him, according to Oakley, Oakley alleges that Dolan, you know, for the past couple of years, has been harassing him every time he goes to the game, to the point that, according to his point, to his side of the story, that some employees told him that Dolan personally told him that every time he goes into the stadium, inside MSG, he has to they have to let him know, and basically he was gonna sit down and enjoy the game, but you know, when he wants to, you know, to enjoy the game, he was basically asked to leave, and you know, he wasn't too pleased about it because he paid for his own ticket. I mean, you would assume a legend like Charles Oakley, who did everything for this city, except unfortunately, like everybody on the Knicks since 73, haven't won the title. But obviously, as we alluded to earlier in this, you know, in this speech, he did everything. It was, you know, not by a lack of effort, because, you know, those 90s Knicks teams, man, they left it all on the floor. I mean, they took the Knicks franchise to memorable playoff berths and rivalries. You know, most notably, they had the rivalry with the Bulls, with the Pacers, the Heat. And, of course, you know, they lost in 94 in seven games to the Houston Rockets, which was the Rockets' first ever NBA title, which was first of a back-to-back reign of, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon at that time. And then, of course, in 99, you know, they overcome all the odds as an eighth seed and went all the way to the finals and lost in five to the Twin Towers, which was, of course, a young Tim Duncan and, you know, David Robinson for the Spurs, you know, French first ever NBA title also. So the Knicks, you know, they've had a lot of adversities. And basically, you know, since the Bad Boys from Detroit Pistons from 89 and 90, no other team in that era symbolizes, like, excuse me, hard-nosed defense like the Knicks. And unfortunately, they weren't able to get a title. But one guy who was very notable on those teams was Charles Oakley. And it's sad to see that, you know, his relationship with Dolan was so bad, because, you know, Charles Oakley has been very vocal about how the Knicks have been playing since the Ewing era, since Ewing's been traded, you know, in 2000. And the Knicks have been horrible. With the exception of 2013, the Knicks have been absolutely brutal. And it's so disheartening to see how, you know, Dolan could, you know, mistreat a Knick legend like that. You know, to see him, should Oakley have put his hand on the guy, even though the guy shouldn't have touched him? No, he shouldn't. But to see Oakley, you know, on the floor, like he's like some criminal, you know, random criminal, and, you know, practically dragged out of the arena, arrested, you know, in handcuffs and arrested. I mean, come on. This is just a bad, bad black eye, you know, for the Knicks franchise and for the NBA, because it was on national TV. Everybody saw this. And you think for 1 second the Knicks are going to draw a free agent to come here? I don't know what Dolan's thinking. Dolan went on Michael Kay's show a few days ago and was, you know, trying to voice his side of the story, and basically was saying, like, alluded that Oakley had a alcohol problem, which Oakley denied, because he said that, you know, he doesn't have an alcohol problem. As a matter of fact, he was helping the former Net, Jason Williams, with his alcoholic recovery. So he was saying he's not alcohol. So, you know, basically this coming week, it looked like Oakley's going to sue them. If I was a betting man, look, that's what it looks like it's leaning towards, because Dolan slandered him, saying that he there's something wrong with him, he needs help, stuff like that, and it's uncalled for. I mean, what's your thoughts with this whole situation?
Man, I thought it was the whole situation was messed up. I mean, I thought it could have been handled differently than the way it was handled at the Garden. I never in a million years would I ever thought that Charles Oakley, who was the heart and soul of that franchise during the 90s, I mean, Ewing was the body of the Knicks, no doubt, you know, during the 90s of the Knicks, but Oakley was the heart and soul. I mean, this guy was all hustle, you know, rebound, hard-nosed defense. You know, he was the enforcer of the Knicks. And, you know, the Knicks fans loved him for that, and they embraced him, you know, because of his tough nose, you know, tough guy image that he portrayed, you know, during his time here. And, you know, it's messed up to see him being carried off by a bunch of security men at the MSG, him being shoved to the ground, him having to buy his own tickets to attend a Knick game. I mean, you know, all around, it's so messed up. And, you know, for Dolan to slander him, saying he and to ban him from the Garden now, you know, I don't know, man. The Knicks are in a bad place right now as an organization. You know, like you said, I don't see how any upcoming free agent would want to come here after seeing that. I mean, it's a black eye to the NBA. It's a black eye to the Knicks, for the Knicks. I don't know, like, the Knicks, even though Charles Oakley behaved, let's say he was verbally abusive that night, and he was, you know, talking some trash to Dolan, or, you know, talking trash to security, whatever happened. I mean, it could have been handled differently. They could have took him aside, talked to him, instead of having four or five guys, or six guys, whatever number of security guys they had confront him. Instead of have that many approach him and, you know, escalate the situation and drag him out like that, you know. I mean, they could have handled it much differently. I just thought it was bad all around. You know, and, you know, I think everybody's in the wrong. I think Charles Oakley is in the wrong. I think the Knicks are in the wrong. Dolan's in the wrong. You know, it doesn't look good overall for the Knicks right now. And, you know, on top of this, with Carmelo, this whole thing between him and Phil Jackson and the possibility of him being traded soon, you know, this only adds insult to injury. You know, to what's going on with the Knicks right now. And the Knicks on the court, they're not doing much better. So, I don't know, man. This franchise is slowly going into they're slowly melting into a lava. It's a lava flow right now. And if I was Donald Trump, I would sign an executive order to put a temporary ban on the Knicks until they figure out things right now.
Man, for real. I don't think anybody would disagree with that right now. Both, I don't think Republicans and Democrats would disagree with that right now.
Yeah, man.
All seriousness, I mean, the Knicks are a laughingstock. I thought, like, what was it, like 2009 when Larry Brown was there, when they had the controversy with Isaiah Thomas being accused of sexual harassment by Nuka Brown Sanders, Marbury allegedly, you know, committing adultery, you know, with an intern while he was married, and the Knicks having their worst record up until last year? It was when they had the worst record, I think, right? When they had 65 losses.
I think so. I think it was last year.
I think it was last year. But yeah, it's what was it, 2 years ago? I'm trying to remember. But in any case, the Knicks are really, it's really bad, man. It's really sad. And, you know, all the top guys in the league rightfully so came to Oakley's defense. Wade even said the same thing, like, you know, that, you know, like, basically, like, you know, who's going to the effect that who's going to come, you know, like, look how they treat a legend, you know, a Knick legend like that, you know. LeBron was saying free Oakley, like, you know, Oakley for president, stuff like that. I mean, so many people were vocal about this, and they weren't even former Knicks. LJ, you know, Oakley's former teammate, he's saying that he works for the Knicks currently, but now he's having second-hand thoughts whether or not if he should continue working for the Knicks because, you know, how they did Dolan did him did Oakley dirty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's going to be tough for these guys because it's just so shameful. I mean, no one agrees with Dolan. I mean, Dolan is trying to win a war against Oakley, and Oakley paid earn his way for a ticket. Oakley, man, Oakley could dine free everywhere he go. He could have the keys to the city, even though the Knicks never won a championship.
Yeah.
And Dolan is never going to win a war between him, you know, him and Oakley, because Oakley, you know, he gave his blood, sweat, and tears for this organization. And for them to treat him like that is just disgusting. I mean, you know, we've said over the years that, you know, we're ashamed of Knicks. You know, we feel like wearing a paper bag over our heads, but this is, like, really, really bad. I mean, this is really bad. This is like a franchise. This is like a franchise low right here. You thought losing, like, 65 games was bad, but this is really bad. I mean, I don't see anybody coming to the Knicks right now. I mean, I mean, oh, and another thing with the Dolan's interview with Michael Kay, he was saying like, oh, how, you know, he's gonna honor his contract with Phil Jackson, and he's not gonna, you know, do anything whether he agrees or disagree with what's going on with the team. He's gonna honor his contract. And, you know, Dolan, man, it's like when he's supposed to be involved with the team, he doesn't get involved. When he's supposed to leave the team alone, he meddles with the team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have no faith in this organization anymore. I thought this team would have been a good team based on the roster, but excuse me. This team is really bad. I mean, they have talented guys, but they're not meshing. And they have a currently – listen to this, man. Nick, for the past four games, Knicks have averaged 112 points. You would be like, yo, man. If I would have told you this back in the 90s, Knicks, you would be like, yo, man, we winning by 20 points.
Yep.
With the current Knicks team, guess what? We're 0-4. 112 points. You score 112 points and you don't win the game. Four straight games in a row. You got to be kidding me. That right there shows you how horrible our defense is. I mean, we got Noah, who has been hurt and hasn't been playing to the potential. You got Courtney Lee, who basically, you know, we got, you know, instead of Dwayne Wade, you know, to be that defensive specialist and that 3-point specialist as well. And he hasn't done nothing. He's supposed to be a two-way player. He hasn't done nothing. Melo's playing well, but, you know, it's not enough. Porzingis, you know, when healthy, he plays well as well. But the guys, man, they're not playing the guys. They're not playing Willie Herman Grumas, you know, Kylo Quinn, man. That guy's good too.
Yeah.
And they don't play these guys, man. I mean, this team, man, it's just –
defense. They lack defense, as always. You know, it's. I don't know what else to tell the Knicks. I mean, you know, I don't know if it's the coaching. I don't know. The players are just not motivated. I don't know what's going on. And if I'm Melo, after seeing what happened to Oakley and what's going on with the Knicks, I would demand a trade right now. You know,
yeah, you know what? I have to agree with you, man, because he's getting booed at the Garden anyway.
Yeah.
I'm all for loyalty, you know. You know, I appreciate when a player's loyal, you know. And Oakley was loyal to the team, and look how he's being treated.
Yeah.
By Dolan and Carmelo, man. I mean, the writing's on the wall. Phil Jackson keeps mocking him on Twitter and all this stuff like that. It's like, come on, man. This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, I don't see no light at the end of the tunnel, man. The Knicks team, man, they seriously need a lot of prayer, man. And the exorcist, because this that thing, the Garden right now is looking like the Amityville Horror House right now. Because
yeah.
It's like ridiculous, man. It's really ridiculous what's going on.
So we need Donald Trump to put that band.
Man, the Knicks, like I said a few weeks ago, man, Knicks needs to be contracted, you know. They just end this franchise already. I mean, I love this Knicks team. Without the Knicks, I would never be a sports fan. You know, even in the good times, they just break your heart in the end, man. It's like Charlie Brown, man. They, you know, when you think they have a chance of winning, they just snatch that ball right out of your reach, and you just fall down flat on your face.
Yeah.
On your back. And it's just embarrassing. I've never been so ashamed to be a Knicks fan like I am right now, what they just did to Oakley. It's like, I know he's not innocent, you know, finding the people. You know, I'm not saying, you know, he should have did that. He shouldn't have done that. But it's just disgusting how, you know, it had to go down like that. You know what I mean? Like, they couldn't. And apparently, according to Oakley, he's tried to reach out to him, Dolan, to try to bury the hatchet. And then on the interview, Dolan was saying the same thing. Lou was saying, like, oh, you know, he's willing to, you know, shake his hand, stand to court. But his actions is clearly the exact opposite of what he's saying. And
yeah.
It's just sad. I mean, we could spend the whole day talking about this. But, you know, unfortunately, we got to move on. And switching gears to Rangers. The other day, they were chanting Oakley's name, you know, in support, you know, of, you know, their brother franchise from the basketball side, you know. But even bigger news for the Rangers. Congratulations to Henrik Lundqvist. He got his 400th career save. I mean, or rather, 400th career win, you know, tonight. So, you know, congratulations to him.
Congrats.
You know, this guy, you know, he has a legendary career. You know, hopefully the Rangers can, you know, finally get him that cup. Because,
yeah,
excuse me, he's had a phenomenal career. And, yeah, man, hopefully, you know, the Rangers can bring the cup back. For the first time, you know, since 94, that magical year of 94. And, yeah, man, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, congrats to Lundqvist. And, well, what's the Rangers, how are they doing right now in the standings?
Sure, they're fourth in the Metropolitan Division. They're 36-18-1. And they defeated the Colorado Avalanche by the final score of 4-2. So, congrats to them. You know,
yeah, doing much better than the Knicks. So,
absolutely, no doubt about that. But then again, everybody's doing better than the Knicks. The Yankees and the Mets are doing better than the Knicks right now.
And yeah,
not playing
and their
yet.
Season hasn't even started.
Until, April. So, yeah, what can we say? Let me see. Switching gears. Let's talk about the Royal Rumble and excuse me. Wait. Before we get into the Royal Rumble, let's talk about the Super Bowl. You know, congratulations, Tom Brady. Unfortunately, as I predicted, you know. The Patriots win again, their fifth franchise Super Bowl, and of course Tom Brady's fifth as well. You know, making him the quarterback with the most Super Bowl wins, and he's a four-time Super Bowl MVP. And you know, they defeated the Falcons. had the biggest collapse in Super Bowl history. They had a 21-0 lead, then a 28-3 lead. And, you know, I was watching, you know, at a, you know, with some friends at a Super Bowl event. And, you know, they were up 21, you know, before the game happened, I was thinking, you know, this could be a slugfest back, you know, the score's going to go back and forth. And, you know, ultimately the Patriots won 34-31. Well, here's what happened. The Falcons, they blitzed the heck out of the Patriots and Tom Brady. My goodness, Tom Brady was like sacked so many times, man. And not to mention they were down 21-0. And I saw something I never thought I'd see in my life. I saw Tom Brady with his head down. He was shot. That was the only, honest to God, that was the only time when I felt like they were going to lose the game. I was like, wow, they are really going to get blown out here. They're really going to lose. And, you know, once that halftime came, you know, Falcons scored that touchdown. And I was like, you know, they gotta score another one here or else they're going to come back. And me and this other guy at the thing, we were the only two people, you know, that was like, we had a feeling it was going to happen because we were like, man, he was like, they don't know about Tom Brady. I'm like, yeah, man, they think it's a, and everybody was like pro Falcons, you know, jumped on the Falcon bandwagon. And I was like, yo, it's not, yeah, I mean, it's not over. Yeah, 21-0, I was excited. You know, I thought he was doomed. But once the Patriots got on the board, got that first touchdown after the field goal, I'm like, you know, okay, now they're on the board here, you know. I'm cautiously watching. But once it got to 8 points, I'm like, man, it's done. They're coming. They're tying this game and winning. There's no doubt about it. And sure enough, final seconds of the you know, fourth quarter, and it happened. He got the touchdown, and I was just watching. It wasn't a matter of if, it was just when it's gonna happen. It's gonna go down. I was watching it, and it happened. You know, they tied the game up, and you know, once they tied the game up, I knew they were gonna beat in one in overtime, and sure enough, they did. And you know, Falcons, they choked, they spit up a bit, and the defense, you know, as dominant as they was in the first half, they look shot, they look old, and, yeah, you know, they look like the Jets defense, basically. You know, what's your thoughts?
Well, it was, you know, the greatest comeback ever in NFL history. I mean, I was like those people at your at the Super Bowl gathering that you were at. I mean, I was rooting for the Falcons, and when they were up 28-3, I thought, well, oh man, you know, Falcons are gonna win this game, you know, because at that point they were up 25. I didn't think there was any way for Patriots to come back, but you know, Patriots ended up coming back. Falcons, just their defense couldn't get any pressure on Tom Brady, you know, in the fourth quarter. You know, it's like they stopped playing. And their offense, instead of running down the clock by running the ball, they kept passing it, which doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
That sequence before the Patriots ended up tying the game, I mean, they had two opportunities to get a first down, to get close to, for them to get a field goal, to make it a 10-point game at that point, and they decided to just pass it. And they still had a chance to get the lead by getting a field goal, and they're still passing the ball. I didn't get that at all. And you know, they gave Patriots the momentum swung to the Patriots because you know their offense was rolling in that fourth quarter. They were moving the ball like it was nothing on that Falcons defense, and when it went to overtime, I just knew Patriots are going to find a way to win. And, you know, they just marched down the field and won that game. And they deserve to win that game because that Falcons defense fell asleep in that fourth quarter and overtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they couldn't do anything. And they win their, what, fifth Super Bowl in
in 17
yep.
years or something like that. And you have to make an argument that Brady is the greatest player of all time. I mean, Joe Montana, he has 4 Super Bowls, and he was a great quarterback. And I saw him play a little bit. But, Brady, 5 championships, 7 Super Bowl appearances. I can't count how many division titles he's won for the AFC East and the number of times he's been to the postseason. I mean, you can make a case he's the greatest of all time. I mean, I've never seen Babe Ruth play, but Brady is up there, I would say, with that type of player, with Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, Bobby Hull, some of those great players.
I come from the Jeter and Kobe Bryant. I mean, those guys have five titles. Tim Duncan as well. 5 titles too. I mean, all these guys are unbelievable players, man. They just know how to win.
Yeah, and he's 39. He still has a few more seasons where he plays, and it doesn't look like his skills are getting diminished at all.
Exactly. His wife wants him to quit. His wife in the AFC East want him to quit, but he's having too much fun. He's not quitting.
Yeah, man.
He's not going to go out on top. He's going to keep on playing. Still dominating he still hasn't skipped a beat for sure. So, the league got to watch out. He's still on the prowl, man.
Yeah, man.
And, yeah.
They're
going to
be the favorite
for
next year.
Yeah, I was about to say, you might as well pencil them in for the AFC, at the minimum, AFC East champions again, And, they're already say Super Bowl, repeating, or at least going to the Super Bowl. But we'll see what happens. let's switch gears to the Royal Rumble. Because we're going to preview the Elimination Chamber, since that's coming Sunday night. So, Elimination Chamber, Charlotte won, as we all expected. Kevin Owens, he lost by disqualification because, as I suspected, Braun Strowman did interfere, but he's still the champion because, Roman Reigns won by disqualification because of, as I suspected, Braun Strowman did interfere. So, that's what happened. And as expected, John Cena made history and became the 16-time champion, world champion, which, it's a combination of the WWE title and the World Heavyweight title, wins, which ties him with Ric Flair, for that historic feat. When he defeated AJ Styles, the new face that ran the place and the champ, the former champ that ran the camp. It was an awesome match. It stole the show. No doubt about that. I mean, what's your thoughts about the whole thing?
About which match? The Charlotte or the World Rumble overall?
The John Cena one.
Oh, the John
no,
Cena
the John
World?
Cena match. The Cena and Styles.
Well, that was, of course, the best match of the night by far. And any of the other matches, I expected Cena to win it and to win the title. It was a good match. Cena and Styles, all of their matches have been classics. I know people out there, they love to hate on Cena and his few moves that he has, but you gotta admit, the guy's a worker, and when he goes out there, most of his matches on these pay-per-views are usually the best matches of the night, So, give him credit for that, and now he's a champion, and he's going to soon break the record, So, right now we're just going to have to see who he faces at WrestleMania after this Elimination Chamber on tomorrow night.
Yep. And, of course, Orton won the Royal Rumble match itself. And, there's a lot of stuff that happened in that Royal Rumble match, man. There was no surprises, which was the most surprising thing about the Royal Rumble. There was no Samoa Joe. He made his debut the following day. You know, when he destroyed Seth Rollins, which Seth Rollins is hurt, and his WrestleMania match with Triple H is in jeopardy. The only surprises was Dillinger at number 10, because that's his number. You know, and apparently he's still in NXT. So that was just a joke, you know, him being in the Royal Rumble, because his number is 10, and he got picked at number 10 at the Royal Rumble. and then of course, James Ellsworth came in, which everybody knew he had a zero chance of winning. And, you know, he got thrown out by Braun Strowman. And then the biggest surprise of the night was number 30, where everybody was thinking, oh, will it be Kurt Angle? Will it be Samoa Joe? Will it be some wrestler we haven't seen in a long time? Maybe Shawn Michaels? Nope. Roman Reigns. WWE flipped the fans, the bird, basically throwing logic out the window and basically putting Roman Reigns in there after he lost his match to Kevin Owens. Yeah, technically he won by disqualification because Braun Strowman interfered. Basically, they threw away logic, because by that logic, AJ Styles should have been in the Royal too, because he lost the title to Cena, so he should have a shot to try to be a champion. But that, as expected, they just did that to screw with the fans, because the fans don't like Roman Reigns, because he's being force fed down people's throats. And another thing, Roman Reigns threw out Undertaker, which basically is to set up their feud, potential feud at WrestleMania. So, and then as a result, basically, and the other reason was that they wanted Orton to get cheered, so that they knew that Roman Reigns isn't popular. So they wanted Orton to have the most popular cheers, even though Orton is a heel. So they made Orton throw out Roman Reigns, even though they psyched the fans out thinking that Orton was going to lose, Orton and Bray Wyatt was going to lose, because it was a 2-on-1 against, a good guy, which is Roman Reigns. So Orton threw him out of the ring to become a 2-time Royal Rumble winner. So as follows, now this leads us to the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view event, where Orton, he's going to fight against Luke Harper, because basically, he's the number one contender. And, basically the winner of the Elimination Chamber match between John Cena, AJ Styles, The Miz, Baron Corbin, Dean Ambrose, and Bray Wyatt will face Orton at WrestleMania. But we're going to get into that in a few seconds. Who you think is going to win, the Curt Hawkins versus Mojo Rawley?
I'll go with Curt Hawkins.
Yeah, I'll go with him also. They both have that connection with Zack Ryder. Curt Hawkins was a edgehead, with that fraction with Edge and Zack Ryder, growing up. And now, of course, Mojo Rawley is teamed up with Zack Ryder, but Zack Ryder's hurt. So I think Curt Hawkins is going to win in his, return to WWE most recently, a few months ago.
Yep.
Then you got Nikki Bella versus Natalya. I think Nikki Bella is going to win. What you think?
I think Nikki Bella will win.
And then you got Dolph Ziggler versus Kalisto and Apollo Crews. Ziggler is going to win. They got to give him, he's turning heel, so he could, revamp his career.
I'm going with Ziggler too.
Becky Lynch versus Mickie James. I could see this go either way, to be honest with you. Maybe Mickie James winning, since this is her first WWE match in, 7 years, so.
I'm going with Mickie James. I think she'll get some help from Alexa Bliss.
No doubt about that. And then you got the American Alpha versus Breezango, which is, of course, you know, Tyler Breeze and Friend Angle versus The Ascension versus Rock Villains versus Usos versus Heath Slater and Rhino for the titles. I think it's either American Alpha is going to retain or maybe even The Ascension might surprise people and win it. I don't think Heath Slater and Rhino is going to win it again. You know, it's been done before.
Yeah, I think American Alpha is going to retain.
Then Randy Orton versus Harper. I think Orton's going to win. He's getting the push, no doubt about it. What about you?
I'm going to go with Randy Orton taking the win.
Alexa Bliss versus Naomi for the women's title. Definitely Alexa Bliss is going to win. You know,
yeah.
They're not going to give her the push. They're not going to give Naomi it yet. And then the main event, the six-man Elimination Chamber match for the WWE title, Cena versus Styles versus Miz versus Baron Corbin versus Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt. Now, here's my pick. Bray Wyatt will shock the world and win the title finally with a little help, with a little assistance by Eric Rowan and maybe perhaps Luke Harper. What do you think? Even though Luke Harper did clothesline Bray Wyatt finally on Tuesday night. But what do you think is going to happen?
That's interesting because that would set up a potential match between Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. that is interesting. Mike, you know, something tells me Cena will retain the title. Then again, I could see...
I wouldn't be shocked.
I could see Bray Wyatt winning it. I'm going to go with Cena retaining the title.
I wouldn't be surprised. You got to go with Cena. You know, Cena, in any match, especially with the title on the line, you know, that's a slam dunk. But I'm guessing WWE is going to do something. I'm hoping WWE is going to do something magical right here. Because it's long overdue, Bray Wyatt being the title. Cena versus Orton for the title for the 1 millionth time. I mean, come on. They just had that match on Tuesday Night SmackDown. Oh, for the first time on SmackDown Live, Randy Orton is battling John Cena. Wow. You mean that's the first time they ever fought each other on SmackDown Live? Wow. What about the 100 million times they fought each other on regular SmackDown and Raw and all these other pay-per-view events?
Yeah, it's getting old.
Come on. It's not special. You've seen it so many times. I know those are the top two franchise guys. You know, in the PG era and this new reality era that they have. But come on. But in any case, I think Bray Wyatt's going to win. You have any last things you'd like to say?
Enjoy Elimination Chamber tonight. I mean, tomorrow night, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Walking Dead is back tomorrow night, so enjoy that as well.
Definitely got to check that out. No doubt, man.
And come back here and check out Sports Urban Legend as well.
All right, we'll give you the recap of the Elimination Chamber next week. I'm William Ramo. He's Macaulay Matthew, and I'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
Thank you.